Hello all. Wow, this is the 90th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. This is Nina welcoming you. It has been quite a journey for me and the book. In this episode, I share with you some history, some uniqueness about the book and the stories along the journey and over the last several years. So now that the new avatar of this book, which is the second edition, which suspiciously look like the old self, with some apparent differences, is going to be launched soon. If you are in Oroville, Pondicherry, anywhere in the Bay region, you can come to the launch. It'll be on the 29th of August. I'll share the date and the tentative time here. You will also find the final announcement in my social media posts and in the postings of the Bharat Nivas, the Indian Pavilion, and I'm sure in our news and notes also. Where would you find the book after the 29th? I'll touch upon that as well. Now, let's do one exercise. I will give you a few moments, not a whole 1 minute, but maybe 30 seconds. Close your eyes and imagine yourself to be in a place wherever you want to be. If you really didn't have any worries of your, responsibility, finance, time, meeting, whatever have you, if you didn't have any of those pulling you, towards another direction, where would you like to be? Imagine yourself, close your eyes and imagine yourself to be in that place. Do that. I'll wait. Open your eyes gently. Now, if we were doing this exercise in person, I would have asked to, put up your hands and tell me how many of you have imagined yourself in a natural surrounding, out in the nature or somewhere in the veranda and a balcony looking at, the ocean or amongst the trees, in your garden. How many of you have imagined that as opposed to how many of you have imagined inside your meeting room or inside your workplace, in your car, or even inside your home, in your kitchen, like where have you imagined yourself? And in my experience, 99% of the time, whenever I have asked people in person to do this exercise, they have come up with a place that is either located in the nature where they found themselves in and surrounded by nature, or they are onlooking nature. They are in a place where they can say, see the ocean or look at a view which is in nature. So this actually is the core of my mission: to reconnect myself and other to nature. Reconnect because we are integrally connected to nature. Nature that relaxes, nourishes, and in a lot of way protects us. Now that we got that clear, let me talk about the unique genre of the book. Do you realize that the Edible Weed Coloring Book is in its own unique genre? The first edition of this book was the first coloring book in India. Educational coloring books in India are rare even now. Abroad, they are there, but those that are about plants, they are not very accurate. They are definitely not drawn to scale. And I have a feeling that in temperate climates, the diversity is low and the reason to go too accurate is perhaps not necessary, except for things like, purslin or spurge are sometimes get confused. On top, None come with the elaborate colored insert that you can take out while going for a walk, with the details on how to pre-process each of the plant before you cook it, before you either cook it or eat as is. The book contains 40 plants, but if you read the insert carefully, especially this second edition, you will get to learn about a few more closely related ones. The fun is, these plants are not just found in Oroville. They are found all over Tamil Nadu. They are found all over India and all across the tropics in Africa, Asia, Australia, Central and South America, and in some warmer parts of the USA and Europe as well. In the summer, in the cooler climate, you will find some of them growing only seasonally. I'm amazed to see the beautiful camelina in the gardens of my friend in France. And even now, you know, some of them are, some in the US, I find them wondering whether, when they find a black nightshade, whether it is really a deadly nightshade. So, you know, black nightshade is also growing absolutely wildly there. Purslane or cocoyam or taro, sundakai or turkey berry, balloon vine or gangetic primrose, you should be able to find in most of these places and at least seasonally. Honestly, you will not find another coloring book for adults which has so much of information which allows you to learn and to discover the nature around you at your own pace. That is very important, to be relaxed and learning in joy at your own pace. The book gives you all the information you need, if you need, when you need. That too, not in fine print and heavy bound. Those are some scary forms for some people. That you'd get the experience, the book, you'll get to get the experience of the book, which is made with handmade paper cover, hand-stitched, and no metal or plastic used. These are the added bonus. It is an artisanal book. That is, it is almost an art project, but it talks about science. And it's not a regular publication. It has its own disadvantage and drawbacks, of course. Not making it a mass production item increases the cost. Nobody quite knows in India where to place the book if it's a bookstore. Usually, as soon as it's a coloring book, it's placed amongst the children's book. Whereas, you know, it's a coloring book for adults. And the book do not have a new tax, which we call here in India GST, but all components of the books are now heavily taxed. The paper, the ink, the print, etc. But the advantages are far more than all these disadvantages put together. Why coloring and why edible? A bit of history here. I'm always bad with direction. People who knows me are aware of this. And so it took me a while when I was trying to locate my first genetic class that I had signed up for as a graduate student. As I entered the mini auditorium-like class, I stood at the door to acclimatize my eyes and not to disturb others before, you know, getting used to it, used to the light and finding myself a seat. The professor then was, you know, he had already started, and he was referring to an art shop to go downtown and pick up a coloring book. A coloring book? Did I hear quite right? Is it the same genetic class? I was really in doubt. So I had actually gone out of the class to check the room number that I am in the right class, and this is the genetic class, because he was talking about art book. So this was the first time I actually seen coloring book actually mainstreamed, because in over the years, all, you know, growing up years in schools, you were discouraged to doodle, and I'm a, you know, compulsive doodlers in book and my exercise books. So over the years, I have trained myself not to doodle. And here is a, you know, serious class which is asking me to draw. So I was impressed. And of course, whether I follow the rest of the instruction or not, I promptly followed the instruction of going and finding this art store and finding the coloring book in question. Back in India, a few years later, I proposed, let's make a coloring book of plants and trees in Auroville. There were not many takers, but this idea remained with me. So, because my core mission then and now is to reconnect people with nature. So, I proposed that I would make a coloring book and it would be like this. It will be more scientifically accurate. It would have a colored insert. But there was no example of that anywhere. So when I proposed, the publishers, which is who are located in Auroville itself, Sire, they were wondering what actually am I proposing? They asked me to give an example, and I didn't have one. They asked me to show the drawings. I said drawings can only be done after the book, when the book is getting published, after getting the funding. So it was a leap of faith by them, and definitely by me, by supporting this coloring book. And I truly believe the first edition of this book couldn't have been made anywhere else. And I must acknowledge the contribution of Sanjeev Agarwal, who kind of single-handedly said yes to this project. And over the years, after the book was printed and as the book was getting popular amongst many, like new gardeners, new permaculturists, and there were tiny little bookstore, artisanal bookstore around the country, I would say niche bookstores, who were keeping this book, I wanted to actually print the book number 2 and 3, which was always part of the plan. But it didn't happen. And Sanjeev was not there at that time. And this second edition is happening because Sanjeev was back. And he called me back and wanted this second edition to be published. So I am ever so grateful for his contribution and his support. Unfortunately, he is not amongst us anymore. And this book will remain as a tribute to him. Now, why edible weeds? Well, weed is kind of a misnomer for all the wild plants around us. See, I decided, and it was my perception, that we in urban areas, when we relate to nature, we are not anchored to nature. Like, for example, a tribal person is anchored to the forest that surrounds them. I had the opportunity as a rainforest ecologist to work in several areas of tribal areas, and have noticed it's not just what thing you eat, what plants you can utilize, what you can make a house with. The relation with nature is much more integral, much more at the core for their very being. And it is very special. And I wish everybody had that connection. In a way, I found that we so easily, say, let's clear that area. Let's, in deciding between, say, whether to make a mall or whether to make make a road, or, keep a certain forest, we often choose that for the sake of development or for the sake of people. At least let's choose development, which is not the nature. And I feel that if people were all connected or reconnected with nature, perhaps the decision will be slightly different. It's not about keeping all greens intact or all natural area as is. It's impossible, right? But, it will be a little more weighted decision, which sometimes I feel that we do not take. So, how do we connect to nature, connect to the wild on a regular basis? What is the, you know, representation of the wilderness around? You know, people will in Delhi have the Aravallis, and the people in, say, in Bombay, they have the Pabai. But there are actually anywhere in the in a rural or urban, anywhere in the world, you cannot find a place which doesn't have the weeds growing. Weeds are the wild plants that we often do not know the names of. So they are the closest representation of the wilderness around us. And by connecting to the weeds, by connecting to these wild plants, uncultivated, growing on their own, we connect to nature in our own ways. And what better way to connect than eating? So it's kind of imbibing that nature, right? Making it physical. You're kind of being that weed in some ways. It has another advantage. The weeds are the best indicators of climate change. The best now, because there are, you know, you can probably see algae, you can probably see other protozoans, which are reacting much faster to climate change. But we, on a regular basis, if we are trained enough to put our attention to the plants growing in our surrounding, we will notice them first. How many of us are actually looking at algae? How many of us are looking at, you know, even smaller organisms? So for the organisms that we actually get to see on a regular basis, weeds are excellent indicators of climate change, which means if I know what weeds are growing around me and I know their uses and I know their benefits, by the way, all plants are medicinal, only some are edible, and if we recognize them for what they are, then we are good, because we can be flexible and adapt ourselves to the changing climate, to the less rain, to the drought condition, and to the different plants that is growing in responding to that. So that's a huge advantage of you know, wild plants. And because they are wild, because they are toughies, they also have nutrients and micronutrients that are unparalleled. And micronutrients is one thing, and this I have discovered over the years that I have been, you know, doing, you know, working on edible weeds, that micronutrients deficiency can happen irrespective of your economic status. Like, you can be very rich, eating very well, and yet be micronutrient deficient. And you can see that, you can make that out, because the bottles of, you know, calciums and multivitamins that you see on the racks, this kind of indicative of that some people are needing that. A lot of people are needing that. Actually, 3 billion people across the world are micronutrient deficient. And weeds, or these wild plants that is growing around us, those which are edible, those which are growing in clean enough condition that you can forage and eat, are absolutely excellent sources of these micronutrients. Micronutrients that are sourced naturally have an added advantage that the body assimilates whatever they need and the rest kind of goes away. And the body is able to excrete that. Often this doesn't happen when you're taking pills. You know, somehow if it is too much, the body doesn't know where to deposit it, and sometimes they deposit in as form of stones. In fact, my journey to edible weeds started in that way, in which I was convalescing following detection of a kidney stone. And I actually got better by eating one of the wild plants itself. I had a natural treatment. When initially the prognosis was that it's too large and there is no way I could avoid an operation, but I did, and entirely naturally, eating, contacting the right naturopath, and taking the right plants. And once I was cured, I wanted to make sure that this doesn't recur, and I wanted to make sure that what in my lifestyle that I need to change so that this doesn't happen again. And it was, we had to go back into what I was doing and what my might have been eating and what had been my lifestyle. And turned out to be, while I was abroad, I was taking calcium tablet on recommendation. That is, you know, calcium vitamin D tablet that is recommended to almost like everybody. And I was not very good at it. Like, I was not very obedient taker. So I would take for some times and then I would stop. But it seems that even when I took, even though I took it for a limited amount of time, it was too much for my body, and it didn't know how to get rid of it. At least that is the explanation this doctor gave, without knowing that I actually lived and had calcium supplements. In fact, one of the options that he was giving, that were you taking calcium supplements? So it was a kind of eye opener to me. So wild plants, edible weeds, if you incorporate in your food, is an excellent way to avoid that. Now, edible weed, coloring book for adults and people of all ages. It is this particular one, the second edition, have some changes and have some additions. And what you'll do is, once you are, you know, done coloring and you're wondering whether what the size of the plants would be, you can make out the scale and figure out how small or large the plant would be. And at some point, I'm sure that it'll draw in you, even if it is, that's not your initial intention, that you will take the book and would like to see if they are growing around you. So whenever you're going for a walk, whenever you're going out, take the colored insert outside and try to identify. Eventually, you will see that you can identify some of them like the back of your hand. Some of the books which are some of the plants that are in the book. And all the plants in the book are edible. So when you know at least 5 edible plants, you know by heart that you don't need to see the flower, you don't need to see too much, but you know that it is that particular plant, you have the full confidence, then you start eating. And in order to build up that confidence, you can join edible weed walks wherever you are. You can look at social media posts on it. You can read about it. There are several other ways to enhance your learning. But even if you don't do any of this, eventually you will know. Because if you keep on practicing in whatever resource you have, if you just have the book and keep on practicing, you will know. I have friends here who have now become friends, who have come for my walk and had a book and entirely knows all the 40 plants in the book by heart, by just practicing it by themselves. So once you have that, and you know the plant, now you're ready to cook it. But before cooking, what is most important part which this book gives you is how to pre-process so that it is safe for eating. Once you have pre-processed, you can cook it in any way you want. You can put Indian traditional spice, or you can cook it in Asian way, African way, Mexican, Italian. The possibilities are endless. So actually, today, Facebook reminded me of a recipe card I had shared during the lockdown. There was immense interest in the community how to gather and pre-process for safety and cook and eat wild greens from the backyard or pot in the balcony at that time. One thing we noticed, that there were plenty of curry leaf sprouts growing as weeds everywhere. What can be made with that, other than, of course, it's a favorite, it's a very flavoring, tempering agent. It is also made into a lovely podi. Podi refers to the spiced powder which can be eaten with rice, idli, dosa, mixed with a little bit of ghee. But then it occurred, we could try to make a pesto, like a paste to eat with pasta. Try it. It is actually awesome. It's awesome only when you are not expecting to smell basil and to have the same texture. It is a separate, different texture, obviously different smell, but it's actually very good. I'll share the recipe card in my Insta and Facebook. Have a look. So about the launch, on 29th, the launch will be at Bharat Nivas. What we will have there is inaugural talk, inauguration by Deepti Tiwari. I'm really, really grateful that she has agreed to do that. It's an honor that it is she who is going to inaugurate the book. And following that, there'll be a few finger foods or hors d'oeuvres. They would be made, at least some of it will be made with weeds. So you'll get to taste some of the weeds. You go to get to experience the weed in a slightly different way. And I'm not going to give away everything. So try to come, and we will try to photo document if you cannot come. And on that day, and I will try to make it for a few months after that. If you are purchasing directly the book, then we will have a very special discount. So I'll announce all that later. I wish that all of you this time who are waiting for this book for a long time, couldn't get it because it was out of print, will now be able to quickly get your copy and, you know, do the practice, go out and look for the weeds, and write to me at edibleweeds@gmail.com. What has been your discovery? What you have made? How you have cooked? What is your experience with that? I would love to hear that. So I will see you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.